GM, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Bankless Africa podcast. And I am your host today, Think Decade. And in the building, we have Christian from Consensus. Christian, what's up? GM.
Hello, nice to meet you, GM.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. And so our conversation today is going to be about some innovation happening within the MetaMask ecosystem. Very, very interesting stuff going on there. And how we usually try to start our podcast is with a story from our guest. So we found out that in Web3, everyone has a story, how they got here and what brought them here. So Christian, share with us how you got to the Web3 space.
Yeah, so I was actually working at an incubator called BetaWorks in New York City. And this was at the end of 2016. And some of my coworkers gave a talk about Ethereum. And this was in the very early days, and they basically explained what it was and how it worked and why it was such a big deal. And I remember I went home that day thinking, I have to go buy some Ethereum and I have to get on there and like try using it and learn more about it. And so that started me on this journey. Now, you know, over 6 years that I've been involved in the Ethereum ecosystem and, you know, learning more about it, always learning more every day. And I just got so interested in it. And the idea was so cool to me that like you could deploy a smart contract and, you know, make an application on here. And I actually eventually learned how to write Solidity. I learned how to deploy my own smart contracts. I did my own NFT collections. And after being, you know, a tinker, a trader, experimenter for so long, finally, you know, more than a year ago, I decided I wanted to get a job in the space. And that's how I actually ended up at MetaMask. And I've been at MetaMask for 1 year and 8 months. And I've been working on MetaMask snaps ever since I joined.
That's a really, really interesting story. And hat off to one of the OGs.
Thank you.
All right. So for first time listeners, or maybe people who are very new or who might be very new to the Web3 space, they might ask, what is MetaMask? So what is MetaMask?
So MetaMask is a wallet that you can use in your browser. You can also use it on your mobile phone. And what it allows you to do is connect to dApps or decentralized applications. And then you can interact with those dApps with your Ethereum accounts, and you can use blockchain applications. And so it gives you a way to explore the decentralized web and to bring your accounts and assets with you and interact with those dApps. And now with snaps, it also allows you to interact with a huge range of blockchains that are not Ethereum based. So you can now interact with Bitcoin dApps, Solana dApps, Cosmos dApps, etc. And now you can install various applications into MetaMask that enhance your Web3 experience.
Awesome. We are gonna get to MetaMask snaps in a little bit. We are gonna delve very deep into it. But I think that over 30 million people use MetaMask. And it's so amazing how a Web3 wallet has become like a gateway to a lot of people who are exploring the crypto ecosystem. And the way I like to think of the Web3 universe or ecosystem as a whole is it's like a multiverse, right? You have all of these innovations that are happening within one universe. You can think of it like Ethereum, another universe like Bitcoin, another one is the Cosmos verse. And you have these bridges that help people move from one universe to the other. And I think that MetaMask in its original form was kind of like a bridge where you could really, really play around in the Ethereum or EVM ecosystem. So from the main chain to L2s. And now it is extending to other ecosystems. So I think that if you look at it, it has become something like a portal, right? That's moved from becoming just a bridge to a portal into like entire ecosystem. So what is MetaMask Snaps? Can you elaborate us on what that is?
Yes, MetaMask Snaps allows developers to build applications that can be installed into the wallet. And because they can be installed into the wallet, they have access to unique APIs. And that means different ways of integrating, different ways of interacting with your accounts or interacting with the wallet that makes these snaps totally unique. And so they can do things like modify the interface of MetaMask. extend various features of MetaMask, like showing you more information about your transactions, or even enabling MetaMask to connect to new protocols that it couldn't connect to before. So some of the snaps are able to do things like make an entire Bitcoin wallet run inside of MetaMask, or an entire Solana wallet, or an entire Arweave wallet. Or they can do things like extend MetaMask to support decentralized identity, and to extend MetaMask to support different types of authentication. Or they can do things like add Web3 notifications directly inside of MetaMask. And so this enables users of MetaMask to have access to new use cases and new features, and it allows users to personalize their wallet to get access to the features that they want and to do more with their wallet than they could do before.
This is like Web3 wallet on steroids, right? It's like giving superpower to your Web3 wallet. And
exactly.
I think it's very, very interesting. And I would like to ask, how did the idea of MetaMask Snaps come about? What is the main goals of MetaMask Snaps?
So the idea came about actually in 2019. One of the founders of MetaMask, Dan Finley, was working with a team from Agoric that they were trying to figure out how to add Cosmos functionality to MetaMask. And they were trying to figure out, how could you add Cosmos functionality to a wallet that's really designed for Ethereum? And so they were working on this sort of like add-on system where they could figure out how to add this new functionality without having to change the way MetaMask worked under the hood. And so that was actually the first iteration of like this add-on system that became Snaps. And it was something that MetaMask was working on for years. Even before I joined, they were working on Snaps and they were starting to build out this this new feature and this new API for developers to use. And the idea was simply that, you know, we acknowledged that there was so much innovation happening in the ecosystem, and there was no way for one wallet to try to capture all of that innovation, just like with one team trying to build out all these different features and trying to integrate everything that people were doing. And so instead, the motivation was, how can we make it possible for other developers to help us make the wallet better and to build in more features and make it more customizable and more modular? And that was why MetaMask released Snaps.
Wow. That is, in a way, that is like in the true spirit of decentralization, right? Take the product and give developers the ability to innovate on top of it. I think that's really, really interesting. Talking of developers, what are some of the benefits of MetaMask Snaps for developers, in your opinion?
Yeah, so one of the things that I always tell developers is that it's much easier to build a snap and launch a snap than it is to try to build your own extension, right? Or to have to build your own wallet application. So there's a lot of complexities that go into building a wallet. And with MetaMask, we've already established a wallet that is very successful, very popular. Many users trust MetaMask, and therefore the effort for a developer to build a snap that runs inside of MetaMask is much lower. There's fewer things that they have to take into account. They have to end up having to support. So it makes it easier to ship, you know, support for a new blockchain, or to ship notifications or different types of security features into a wallet that already has a lot of users and is very much established. And then the other thing is that when you make a snap, you own your snap. So you it's your code base. It's separate from MetaMask, right? And so you continue to own that code base. And when a user is interacting with the snap, they're interacting with your product, right? So you're shipping a snap. It's your product. You can, you know, if there's ways that you want to monetize it, if there's ways that you want to add features in the future, that's up to you. And you're not dependent on us. It's not like you're adding something to the MetaMask core code base and then sort of dependent on us to continue to support it. You can continue to support your snap. And we offer lots of resources to help developers who are building snaps. So we have tutorials, templates, we have lots of example code. We have teams within Consensus that actually work to support developers that can help them out if they run into problems, help them come up with ideas of how to make their snaps better, and help them work on ways to do marketing and reach users and things like that. And we even do grants, right? So we have a grants program, and we've given out, you know, more than $100,000 in the past year to Snaps developers to help them be able to ship their snaps and turn them into products. So, you know, we're very much invested in this ecosystem. It's an opportunity to work with us and build products on top of the most popular self-custodial wallet in the ecosystem. And it's an opportunity to, you know, get some support from us to help, you know, think about how to make your product successful and how to reach users.
I love it. Thank you for providing like a multi-answer to one question that I asked. So for developers out there, it's like, why would you want to start from scratch if you can stand on the shoulders of giants? And that is what Metaverse Snaps is bringing out there for all of the developers, right? So one of the things that we all know is has been very, very prevalent in the Web3 space is hacking. You know, hackers always hacking stuff and stealing people's funds and all of that. So how does MetaMask Snaps ensure the security, privacy, and consent of users when they are installing the app, and also basically just ensuring like a high level of security where when people use Snaps, their funds will not be stolen?
Yeah, I actually have two answers to this. So the first is how we ensure security within the Snaps environment. And so we actually think of it as a security product. We've designed it from day one with security in mind. And so the way that Snaps work is that they're isolated from the rest of MetaMask. So they don't have access to MetaMask data, and they can't do anything that they're not allowed to do by MetaMask. So MetaMask essentially controls what a Snap can do inside of MetaMask. And we use a permissions model, which means that a Snap has to request permission to do certain things. So if a Snap wants to download information from the internet, or if it wants to save data within MetaMask, it has to ask for permissions to do those things. And so MetaMask is able to control and limit and constrain what a Snap can do. On top of that, we require that the Snaps that are in MetaMask, they have to be, you have to be able to read the source code. So the source code has to be public, which means that if you ever think about some of the smart contracts that are used to scam users, they're often the source code is hidden. And so people don't have any way to go and see if that smart contract is malicious, and people end up finding out because they get hacked. So we require that the Snaps source code be public. So people who are security researchers can go and see if a Snap is trying to do something malicious. We also, as part of our open beta, we required all of the developers that are involved to get audits. So that means that third-party security auditors that are capable of auditing JavaScript code have actually reviewed these snaps and inspected them to see if there's any issues. And so for any snap that's in our allow list, you can actually find the audit report for that snap. So you can see, you know, what were the things that the security auditors found? What did the developers do to fix those things? And we review every update from that point onward. So you can actually go into our registry and see like what were the different changes that were made. So we're very much scrutinizing these because we want to make sure that they're safe for users. And the other thing I was going to say was that what Snaps enables is new, you know, part of the categories of Snaps is new security features for users. So like I had said earlier, there are Snaps that can show you if a transaction is malicious. There are also Snaps that can help protect your wallet addresses and can try to move your funds if your account is being hacked, or monitor your account addresses and let you know if it looks like there's dangerous activity going on. There's also Snaps that can help you inspect your wallet address and see if there's risky assets or approvals that you've made in the past. So all of these different things, you know, we think that security is something where it's best to have lots of solutions and lots of different approaches at all the different stages of your life cycle of how you use your wallet and how you use your accounts. And so what Snaps allows us to do is to bring multiple solutions from the community and make those available to users.
Awesome. Awesome. Since you have started giving an example of some of the Snaps, I'm going to follow it up with a question of, in your opinion, what are some of the most popular and innovative Snaps that have been built by the community so far?
Yeah, so I think all of the Snaps that are currently available are innovative, and we're still in the early days. So it's hard to say what's popular because we're still in this phase where users are trying out Snaps for the first time, and they're, you know, still getting an idea of how Snaps works. And so we're still in this sort of awareness phase. But that being said, there are some Snaps that are already pretty popular. And what I'm seeing that users are really gravitating towards is the snaps that allow you to access other blockchains. So obviously, like you had said, there's a lot of enthusiasm to be able to explore these different blockchains, to bridge from one to another and sort of explore the wider, you know, Web3 ecosystem. So definitely the snaps that involve Solana and Cosmos and other chains like that are very popular. Users are trying those out. They're exploring those ecosystems now. And it's great that MetaMask users can do that now. There's also some snaps that do, like I said earlier, they do decentralized identity. And so they give users ways to manage their identity within their wallet and interact with applications that rely on verifiable credentials and essentially allow you to do like storing information, like I've completed a course, I've bridged to another blockchain, I've been recommended by some group or something like that, right? So they're very useful for things like DAOs, for things like NFT, you know, projects and different community initiatives. And then there are some snaps that do authentication, so they make it easier to log into dApps, right? Like we have one for XMTP that makes it easier to log into any app that uses XMTP. Then we have snaps that do notifications, which is really useful because now users have a way to get notifications right within MetaMask. It's much better than trying to share your email address or your phone number with dApps. You don't necessarily want to share that information. It's better to have the notifications in the wallet itself. And then there are snaps that do security solutions. And so what's been really popular have been the snaps that can show you if a transaction you're about to make is risky, because you know, oftentimes the majority of users who are interacting in Web3, they don't know if a transaction is dangerous. They don't know how to verify a contract. It's a lot to ask of them to know if, you know, if something that they're interacting with is dangerous. And so having these snaps that can warn you and can bring in different registries or AI solutions or different ways to analyze smart contracts, having those available to just be able to tell you, hey, this address has participated in phishing attacks in the past, or this contract has been found to be stealing user funds or something like that, it enables users to say, oh, wait, this is not something I want to interact with. I can back out of this before I make a mistake and lose my funds. So definitely, and that's the category that I recommend to users to install first. So I always tell people, you know, start with the security solutions. You know, that's a great place to start. You should definitely have some snaps installed that can help protect you in Web3. And then you can start to explore the other categories and all the different things you can do.
That's amazing. My first experience with snaps, by the way, was connecting to Celestia Network, which is a new network in the Cosmos ecosystem. And they were, you know, their airdrop recently garnered a lot of publicity, and they did it for developers. So I connected my MetaMask via Snaps to that network, and I think it was a very, very seamless and interesting experience. So, I'm happy to be an early adopter of Snaps. All right, so the...
That's awesome to hear. Yeah, and it's so exciting. It's so exciting that MetaMask users have a way to do that now. You know, it's something that wasn't possible before, and now they can do that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right. So one of the things that I'm interested in is the moment you bring in the concept of different chains, it becomes very, very complex, right? And the issue of compatibility and interoperability also comes in. So how do you handle the compatibility and interoperability issues between different snaps and chains or platforms?
Yeah, that's a tough one. This is something that we're actively working on. It's something that we've been researching for a while because these different protocols have very different interfaces. It's very hard to build one wallet that supports all of these different things. So the nice thing with snaps is that each snap can have its own API. So it can create its own methods and it can create its own ways of interacting with these different blockchains. But we still have a lot of work to do to make it possible for the wallet to interact with all of these in a way that's more seamless. And so we've actually been working with an organization called CASA, which is the Chain Agnostic Standards Alliance. And we've been working on proposals that essentially allow us to present a common way for a wallet to connect to lots of different blockchains with completely different protocols. So what it's essentially doing is sort of making a standard approach for a dApp to say, I want to connect to accounts on these different networks, and I want to be able to use these different methods, right? And so it's essentially saying, okay, acknowledging that there's different ways that accounts and protocols were going to work, and you just need a way to combine all of that variation into a common interface that allows the wallet to be able to communicate with dApps across different protocols. And so what we're working towards is that we think it will eventually be possible for a wallet to connect to a dApp that maybe does Ethereum, Solana, and Cosmos, and has completely different methods on those different protocols. But by presenting a common interface, you could connect accounts from those different blockchains and, you know, support all the different methods that you need. And then that dApp will be able to interact with the user, with the wallet, across those different blockchains simultaneously, right? And so that's what we're working on. It's something that, you know, there's still a lot of work that we have to do to make that possible. And what I've been telling developers is, if this is something that you're interested in, you should definitely come and work with us, work with Casa on this topic, because it's a really exciting research topic. And I think it's a big part of what's going to carry Web3 forward and make the decentralized web much more accessible to everyone.
Sounds great. Sounds great. Now, hit me with some of the best practices and tips for using MetaMask snaps effectively.
Yeah, that's a good one. So one thing I tell people is you should always start with snaps.metamask.io. That's our official directory where you can see all of the snaps that are allow listed. And I actually recommend that people go and learn more about the developers of each snap and go and read their information. So when you go to check out a snap on our directory, there's actually information that you can see from each developer, like their FAQ, their knowledge base, where you can get in touch with them. You can go check out their Discord or contact them if you have issues. But essentially, when you're on snaps.metamask.io, you can go through and read everything that's there. And you don't have to go and install everything, right? You don't have to go and like check everything out and just start like installing things blindly. But go and look through there and look at some of the things that might interest you, right? So maybe if you're familiar with Tezos, you can check out the Tezos snap. If you're looking for security solutions, you can try the transaction insights category, right? And so from there, then you can start using them. And I would say to actually, you know, start with one or two and try them out and see how they work. So from what you're sharing here, if you click on Discover Snaps, that'll take you to the directory, and then you can see all the different snaps that we have available. And you know, it's very similar to what we advise people in general, right? You know, don't rush into anything. You know, don't click on something that, you know, is totally unfamiliar, right? Always ask people that you know in the ecosystem, you know, their advice and stuff like that. But yeah, this is these are all the ones that we vetted and are worth checking out. Like I said, you can click on the different categories up there. So you can just look at transaction insights and just install some of the different transaction insights snap and see what they do when you're making a transaction. Or you could explore these different protocols. So you could explore, like, from this list, you could start exploring Near, Partesia, Aleo, Arweave, things like that. Filecoin, for example. There's a Starknet snap, which was actually built by Consensus, and that's an Ethereum layer two. So that's definitely a cool one to check out because it's, you know, sort of part of the Ethereum ecosystem. And yeah, that's about it. I mean, I think, you know, and if people have any questions, they can always reach out to us and ask. And, you know, we're also going to be announcing over the next few months and into the next year, we'll have more categories of snaps that we'll be making available. We're constantly working with developers to bring them in. So I would also say to follow MetaMask on Twitter, sign up for our newsletter, and you'll be able to hear about new snaps as they become available.
Awesome. Sounds good. I love the interface. Very simple and straightforward. I like the categorization. And so you are able to select based on the objectives or what you are searching for. So you want a snap for notifications, you can click on that to filter it out. Transaction insight, that's lovely. That's a nice, very nice and intuitive and simple to use interface. All right, so Christian, I've got two more questions. Let's look at a little bit into the future, right? What are some of the future plans and roadmap for MetaMask snaps?
Yeah, so one thing that we're doing is we're working on making the snaps interface able to do more within the wallet. So we're working on ways for snaps to have more ways to modify the user interface of MetaMask and to interact with MetaMask in more ways. We're working on better support for security insights. So right now you can get security insights for transactions, but we eventually want to support signatures as well. There's a lot of risk around doing signatures. And so we want Snaps to be able to warn people if they're making a risky signature. We're also working on ways for Snaps to do things like name suggestions, right? So if, you know, similar to ENS, right? You have ENS names and you can do like, you know, Vitalik.eth will resolve to his address. There's other naming services out there that we plan to support with Snaps. And so that will make it possible to integrate lots of different naming services, which may be on other blockchains, and to be able to make that possible with Snaps. And we're also working on different types of account management. And it's just, there's so much that we're exploring. You know, we're obviously exploring account abstraction. We're exploring totally new ways of managing your assets and interacting with decentralized applications. And I would say that some of the stuff that we're going to do in the future, I can't even predict right now. So, you know, as we build out this modular system, when we enable developers to be able to innovate with us, they're going to do things that even surprise us that we're not even predicting. And I think that's really the most exciting part about it, is that now we've created this inflection point where innovation is going to accelerate so quickly that I would say in a year from now, there's going to be things that I couldn't even predict right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. So one last question, Christian, is that 3 years from now, 5 years from now, or perhaps even a decade from now, what are your thoughts on the future of crypto wallets? How would crypto wallets look like? How would we interact with the blockchain?
Yeah, so I think one thing that we'll see 3 to 5 years from now is wallets will be much more customizable and much more personal. So there's different types of users in Web3. And right now what we're seeing is a lot of like this one size fits all, like one product that tries to enforce like a very specific design philosophy on users. And so every wallet is the same, and everyone who interacts with that wallet gets the same experience. And that's not really what I think will work in the long term. So I think that, you know, a wallet is really your digital companion, and it also has to be a reflection of your identity and who you are and what you do in Web3. And so I think what we'll see is wallets will become much more personal. It'll be a way for you to define how you want to exercise your digital authority in Web3 and how you want to interact with all these different applications, and what's the level of comfort that you have, what's the level of different types of the complexity of different types of applications that you want to activate within your wallet and how you want to use it. So very similar to like, if we compare our phones, we probably have completely different apps on our home screens, right? We probably use our phones in completely different ways, right? And our phones are our digital companions. We take them everywhere with us, and they're so essential to how we interact with the world. And I think that wallets in a similar way will be so essential to how we interact with the metaverse and the decentralized web and the internet of value. Along with that, I think, you know, some of the things that we'll see is that AI will be very prevalent, and it'll be very useful in how we use wallets. And AI will primarily be able to help us and provide a lot of useful applications that help make Web3 much more accessible for us. And I think that, you know, what we'll see is a lot more people will be using crypto and will be interacting with wallets, and maybe they won't even know it, because wallets will be more seamless. And so a lot of the like complexities now that can make Web3 very painful and very difficult and very obvious when you're trying to interact with Web3 products, I think a lot of that is going to be abstracted away. Not exactly saying account abstraction, but essentially, right? And so a lot of times you'll be talking to people and they'll be talking about using something crypto related and they don't even realize it, because it'll just become more, I guess, much more commonplace. And much more accessible and more seamless in such a way that it'll just be a part of everyday life.
That was a lot to unpack there. And the future is really, really exciting. And I'm looking forward to it. Any closing remark, last thoughts?
I was going to say that, you know, Snaps is still, in a sense, experimental. It's still something early. There's so much that we want to do with it. Where we're going with it, there's so much that we have yet to accomplish that we have in our vision and our roadmap that we're still working on. And so the most important thing that I ask of people right now is that we want feedback. We want people to tell us what they like about it, what they don't like about it, what features they would like to see, how they could get the most value from it. So I'm always telling people, like, please try Snaps and give us feedback. This will be so helpful for us to make the platform better. It'll help shape our roadmap and how we continue to build it out. We would love to get feedback from people, you know, try them out and let us know what you think, and we'll continue to make it better.
Awesome. If I want to provide feedback, where do I go to?
There is a consensus Discord. And there's a channel in there for Snaps users. And so that's one place where you can go and share feedback. There's also a MetaMask forum, right? So you, from our website, you can get to our community forum and you can share feedback like that. Or you can even reach out through our support channels. But also, if people want to get in touch with me on Twitter, my Twitter is Midwit Milhouse. They can also get in touch with MetaMask Dev, which is our Twitter account for our developer products. And, you know, it's one of the ways that we talk to people about Snaps. There's many different ways that they can get in touch with us. We would love to hear from everyone.
Awesome. Awesome. So there you have it, listeners. The future is exciting. And one of the things that always excites me about Web3 protocol development is how users are perceived as part of or integral part of the development process. Right. And that's what Christian is talking about. You are not just viewed as a user, you are viewed as part of the product development or developer. So get in there, get your feedback across, and then spread the word on what you want to see on Snaps. So that is it for today. We hope you learned something about MetaMask Snap. Go check it out, and I'm excited for the next one. So until the next episode, stay relentless, stay exploring, and working.